person here. I think only one or two. So no, you were here on Monday, weren't you? And so welcome, everyone. It's our last meeting, and I hope that we get the most out of it today. It's the meeting on Monday was a good meeting. We learned about Esau and Jacob. That's a very strong lesson. That's a very strong message. But it's appropriate unto the gospel that we know that salvation is by grace. This message is the title of it. It's in verse 18. I will come to you. I will come to you. It's a promise that's of our Lord Jesus Christ to come unto us specially and particularly with power and with comfort unimaginable. The greatness of this privilege of having Christ inside of us, the power of the Son of God. But let's think about reading in verse number 15 up to verse 18. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's the evidence and proof of a sincere love. And I will pray the Father. This is what Christ is saying, that this is what he will do. And he will give you another helper. In some translations, it can be comforter. It can be advocate. I think that this word that's in the New King James and other translations, helper, is a good word. Because it emphasizes the help that he gives us as God the Holy Spirit. As God the Holy Spirit. And this helper that he may abide with you forever. And I believe even in heaven that the helper is going to be inside of us. As you read in the Revelation, is we see the Lamb, as we see the Father, but we don't see the Spirit. He's with us. He's inside of us. Now, the Lord Jesus has chosen to take upon himself a body and a bride. And his bride is encompassed by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him, it has no faith, nor knows him, has no understanding of the gospel. It's an unbelief. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. He was with them in this sense, that he was always there, instructing them in the gospel. But he was with them in the sense that he was showing them Christ, us Christ. And he is with them in the sense that he is exactly who Christ is. So, just like our Lord Jesus can say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen Christ, you've seen the Holy Ghost. That's what he does. Is to point to and to draw our attention unto him and to make us like him in his glory. And he'll be in you. and I will not leave you orphans. What a privilege is this. I will come to you. And when I hear that word, I will come to you, the first word I think right now is no excuses. No excuses. There are no excuses for us being unable to live the Christian life because Jesus Christ is inside of us now. I'm not lacking any power. I'm not lacking anything that I need for peace. If he had left us orphans, if he had left us on our own in this ruined world with its trials, with its difficulties, with its temptations, with its sin, and our own fleshly nature, that would be a trauma. That would be too much to handle. It would be too difficult. It would be too hard. I would be overwhelmed. But having Christ inside of us, the hope of glory, me and you have all power to live the Christian life. If you open, please, into the book of 2 Peter 1. And what I am trying, I'm endeavoring that all of us see is all the riches that we have in Christ. Everything I need, I have already. Christianity is not Christ and you. It's Christ in you. Did we catch that? Christianity is not Christ and you. And your effort. And your strength. And your righteousness. No, no. Christianity is Christ in you. And so that by possessing him, I have and you have all that we need. And our understanding is enlightened. Our eyes are open unto the riches of the inheritance. And as the gospel is preached, our eyes are pointed and they are focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have knowledge of all I have in Christ Jesus. And that's how he works in us with power. And so that we are extremely mighty. As when the Lord God, as he first came unto Gideon, he said, "Is you mighty man of valor, of strength, of courage? The Lord is with you." He said, "But I'm less than the least in my father's house." But the text said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And that is what it means right now to have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And this particular text in 2 Peter 1. Let's pick it up at verse number 2. The Apostle Peter says, after he's told us about like precious faith that we have obtained as a gift of God, our faith is the gift of God. He gave it unto us. But then he says in verse number 2, grace and peace, it be multiplied unto you.
Amen.
It's not just small. It's not just a little bit. It's not just a honeymoon phase in the gospel. Now for you married folks, I don't ask you to raise your hand or even nod. But some of you know about the honeymoon phase in love. And you get married, you have your honeymoon, everything is whoop, whoop, whoop. But then next thing you know, it's over the years, it's wah, wah, wah. Not with God. There's an ever-present, ever-flowing fountain of grace. He's got plenty of grace and of mercy and of peace and of kindness and compassion to keep on giving unto us, his people, his elect. Hear me. If he did not decide to save us and make us a Jacob, me and you would never have been saved. I would be hearing the gospel with indifference and unbelief and anger. Except for the fact that God has decided to have mercy on us. And if he did all that, he chose us for salvation. Is he going to be a dropout father now? Is he going to be a deadbeat dad? In, you know, certain cultures in the U.S., if we have a problem in the black community, as the fathers are often absent. And it's the same thing I've seen, just by observation, in South Africa. And I'm wondering if the apartheid, if the oppression has something to do with that. It's not as bad here in Nigeria, especially in the north. But our father is not an absentee father. He's an ever-present help in time of need. If we go to him. And so scripture says, it is that grace and peace be multiplied more and more unto you. But how is it done? Is it in our works? Or is it in our faith? The Lord Jesus said, if you love me, what would make me love him? Is it my works? Is it my effort? Is it like Peter? Oh, Master, I will lay down my life for you. Or is it, in spite of all of my failures, he laid down his life for me? Huh? What makes us love him? It's the gospel. It's the knowledge of God. It's the riches of the inheritance and of Jesus Christ our Lord. He connects of the Father and the Son. As old Martin Luther said at the time of the Reformation, that I don't want anything to do with God outside of Jesus Christ. You understand that? Outside of Christ, he's got wrath. Outside of Christ, he is an avenging God. But in Christ, he's a father. And he's at peace. And he's got more peace unto be multiplied unto me and you. There will be more troubles, and there will be more pain, and there will be more peace. until we leave this world. Because I got some bad news this morning. Uh, 70% of my income is gone. It's the person that was helping me, it's their business, it crumbled. 70% is gone. I don't know what I'll do, but trust God. And I know peace has not left this building. And that God is still faithful. And no matter what, we can trust Him. Peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God. That He's in His sovereignty. He's sovereign. He's in control of everything. And so as to why should we fear? And look at verse number 3. It says, His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything I need is inside of me already. I just got to realize how full it is, how big it is, in the gospel, and then go and get the riches of our inheritance. He bought this for us in Jesus Christ. It's ours for free, and we get it and apprehend it by faith. It's by the knowledge of God. He's this good. He's done this much for me. He has let me have all of this as a free gift. This is His inheritance. It's broad. It is so big. It's Christ in you. What problem can we not overcome? What difficulty? What challenge? What temptation? What sin can we not conquer? What is the storm that will not allow us to have peace? Is that possible?
No.
Has there ever been a storm that's been created by God that the Lord Jesus can't speak to? No problem. No adversary. No circumstance is stronger than our God. Inside of us. Now, it would be one thing if He's on the water and I'm in the boat. But me and you have received Him into our ship, into our soul by faith. He's in the boat, but He's even nearer than in the boat. He's in our hearts. And as we keep our eyes upon Christ, as me and you believe the precious promises, He works in us with power. It's in Colossians 1. He works in us with power. In 2 Peter 1, verse 4, it talks about the exceedingly great and precious promises. And by these is we overcome. In Colossians 1, verse number 27 through verse number 29, it says, to them, the saints, it's the God willed to make known as to what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ and you. Did you see the difference? If it's Christ and me, I'm in trouble. Why? I'm nothing. I don't have any strength. I'm helpless. Me against the enemy, I'm slaughtered. He's many thousands of years old. He deceived Adam in his perfection. He led angels in the transgression. How much more so me and you? What can we do with the devil? It's impossible. But Christ in you is something different. Now, if you let him fight our Lord Jesus Christ, who is stronger in battle. He's mighty in armies. He is the Lord of hosts, a whole host of people. It's the mystery, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach. This is our message. It's not religion. It's not church attendance. It isn't morality. It's not end times. If I'm talking to you about end times, I'm talking about Jesus Christ who's coming back. Not something I can, that's on our calendar. We don't know when. We just know who. And to get ready to meet God in peace. Him we preach. It's a warning of every man. It's a teaching of every man in all wisdom. What is wisdom? Christ. It's to trust him unto obedience. That's wisdom. If I'm wise, is I have my eyes on Christ unto good works. That's a wise person. That he may present every man perfect or complete in Christ Jesus. And look at verse number 29. To this end I also labor. I'm striving. I'm struggling. I'm stretching out my neck. It's in the U.S. I used to play American football. It's a very dangerous sport and a lot of fun. It's full contact. But the beauty of the sport is you get hit and then you keep striving past him and stretching out that ball over the line. It's an aggressive sport. That's what Paul says he's doing. He is striving with agony. But how is Paul doing that against the devil? How is he doing it against all of those Jews who are persecuting him and stoning him? He is stoned in Acts chapter number 14, right? And then a few verses later, he's back in the same places he had been stoned, and he's encouraging the saints that through much tribulation we must enter the kingdom of God. How do we get through this tribulation? How do we keep striving with the devil on our back? It's not light, huh? How do we do it? It is to this end I also labor, striving according to his working. His working, which works in me mightily. Christ is in us working. As the gospel is preached, as our eyes are on Christ, the Spirit is conquering our lusts, subduing our sins. He's overcoming with power. He's giving joy and peace. He's conquering. Christ is in us, and he's winning, and he's mighty. And that's how we do it. It's the preaching of the gospel. Every day, the gospel. Our minds are fixed on Christ. It's the book of Isaiah in chapter number 40. This particular verse has perplexed me for many years. I didn't understand it. I thought I had it, and I was wrong. But I see it clearly now. It's a sneaky verse. It's Isaiah in chapter number 40.
And in mercy. Verse number 29. Let's actually start at verse number 27. Let's just get some context. And scripture says, as to what do you say, O Jacob? And you speak, O Israel, that my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. There are two things which are happening. As our Lord Jesus Christ humbles us and he makes us useful. The first thing which he must do is take away all confidence in the flesh. That's a hard work. Yes, sir? It's a humbling work. And us with the gray hairs, and even the ones who have them shaved with some hair cream, I don't know. Oh, we know better than we used to how hard it is to try to strive against God in our own strength. If we have our own strength, he will hurt us and humble us, and he'll bring us down. Right? It's a man that is at the feast and he's up in the high seat. If anybody ought to be honored, it's me. Then the other man comes and says, sir, please take your place over here. And with shame, is he has to come all the way down and he's embarrassed. And it's humbling for God to strip us of our righteousness and strength. But he's got to do it in order to get us and make us able to trust in Jesus Christ. But then it's a second work. It's after he defeated us, after he showed us our sin, that I don't have any help but God, he has to give us confidence that God will help us indeed. That's what he's doing here. It's the Israelites have been conquered, stripped of their righteousness and strength, because all those things are in God, in our Lord Jesus. And so now God is encouraging us and he's showing us what is the way. Verse number 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, all the strength that me and you need, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He lets sin appear to be so masterful and so strong that we think that me and you will never conquer. I thought I had it. And then it beat me down. And now I'm thinking hope is almost lost. And then God comes back and says, haven't you seen me? It's an old movie back home. Get a load of me. Look your eyes up unto me, the creator of the ends of the earth. I've got power. I've got all kinds of power. I've got all power. There is nobody that has any power but me. Because even the devil is under his control. Right?
Yes.
He doesn't think a thought if it doesn't please God. He doesn't go any further than is in the purposes of God. Even when Adam fell, as the lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. This was God's plan A. He doesn't have plan B's. He knows the end that is from the beginning, and he controls his enemies, and the wrath of man shall praise him, and if it doesn't is he restrains him. He neither faints and nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. As ignorant as you and I are, as often as me and you have been fooled by Satan, as many times that me and you have read scriptures and failed, as we said, that doesn't apply unto me. I don't have to obey that. I'm smarter than that. I'm smarter than God. I've been shown to be a fool. But his understanding, he knows all things. It is unsearchable. Thank you. Get some goodies afterwards. Get some Zomo and some donuts, I think. But look at verse number 29. Here it is. He gives power unto who?
Weak.
Who's weak in here?
Hallelujah.
That's who gets the power.
Amen.
And here's what actually made me stumble. It's to those who have no might, he increases strength. And here's what made me stumble. Is as an athlete, is you get your second wind. If you're running, you're tired, but you push through and you get a second wind. But then after the game is over, you're exhausted. And you got to sleep in the morning. You're tired. That's what I'm thinking. For all of these years, I'm thinking, after I've tried my hardest, he comes and helps. But what Christ said is, without me, you can... There it is. Can't do anything from the start. It isn't a matter of, I'm going to try as hard as I can, and then when I'm tired, Lord, help, Lord. No, no, no. That is the way of that's how you lose. It's a way of defeat. It's a way of being conquered. All this while, I think I'm doing something. I'm doing nothing. I'm just in the mud, stuck. I'm just exercising my legs, and I'm not going to get anywhere. The disciples in that storm, they were rowing all night and got nowhere. Got nowhere. Until the master came, and he was going to pass them by as he walking on the water. And when he got in the ship, immediately at land. Immediately. You hear it? He's saying that me and you can do nothing. I can't live the Christian life. If it's Christ and me, it's over. That's why every day, early in the morning, as the scripture says, I got to get strength and power from God to Christ. Is we have to approach God with an open Bible and an empty soul, a helpless soul. I can do nothing. I don't have any strength. And if we approach him that way on the daily, early, I shall rise and get my blessing. Then I've got strength all day to live the Christian life. See? That's right. Because I hope you don't raise your hand. If you want to, you can, but I'm pretty sure you won't. Is anybody here struggling with pornography? It's a common sin. Even Christians are stained by it. And it's so guilty and confusing and degrading and emotionally heartbreaking. And it steals your joy. It robs you and I blind. How do you comfort it? It's not at night. It's too late. If you waited to get your eyes on Christ up until the time of mass temptation is over. If you may last here or there, I'm going to cover you. But if we get that strength early in the morning, and we walk with him all day, and we serve him all day, and joy and kindness and love and gladness and the power of God all day, if we give our whole life unto Jesus Christ, and his strength will come with power. That's the Christian life. And because of him, you and I can do anything he tells us. What did Paul say? I can do what?
All things.
How?
Through Christ.
That's right. It's Philippians 4.
15.
And let's pick it up at verse 11. This is the gospel. And this is how we're to hear it every day in our hearts, in our minds, in our consciences, as we look unto Christ Jesus with an open Bible. As we sing our songs and we get the gospel inside our hearts. It's Philippians 4 and verse 11 through 13. Not that I speak is in regard to me. He is congratulating the Philippian church, the Macedonians, for supplying needs. If the brother has some financial needs as a missionary. Not that I speak is in regard unto need. I'm not trying to twist your arm or to make you think that if you didn't help me, I was just helpless. No. If any man tells you that if my only hope is you, if you're the only one that's helping, don't tell that man.
Yes,
he's a liar. He's telling that to a whole bunch of people. And I know by experience that I had a man in Kenya, or he'd write me, oh, you're the only one that is helping to support me. And I learned the man was a crook. And the ministry was completely fake. If a man, if he trusts God, he'll believe in God, and he will thank you, and he will still say, I'm content no matter what. I appreciate it, but I don't need anything from anybody. Did you understand that balance? I'm thankful, but I'm okay.
Yeah.
If he wanted me to die in prison from hunger, that's all right. That's all right. It's happened unto the saints. It was okay. Our life is not in these bodies, this little short period of time. Our life is in the heavens. And whatever he decides is all right, no matter what. That's his attitude. How can you do it? You've got the strength of Christ. For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. It doesn't matter if I'm hungry or full, if I'm rich or poor, if I'm hot or cold, if I'm happy with circumstances or if I'm sad at circumstances. It doesn't matter. I know how to be abased, humbled, crushed, and beaten, and brought down, and exercising my faith in the valley. And I know how to bow. I can be on the highs of the mountaintop. And I can be humble and happy. It's everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer needs. Don't let me hear any gospel of all highs. That's the gospel of a lying God. That's a false gospel. Everything will be up always if you have enough faith. That's not what happened to Paul or Jesus. He had quite a bit of faith, and he died upon a cross. And men hated his preaching. And the devil persecuted him and tempted him. That's faith in action. It's overcoming whatever happens unto me and you. It's not all promises of just a lolly time. It's a real life. In the world, you will have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the entire world. And I'm in you now. And we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. If we keep going too, and we learn to quit murmuring. Verse 13, I can do almost anything. There are certain situations, I guess you can't handle, but it's a majority of them. It's I'll be happy after.